Well, good morning. We are going to continue in our series on the book of Philippians that Pastor Adrian started for us last week. And today we're going to be looking at Philippians 1, 19 and 20. And after that, there'll be a song, and then Pastor Carrie will come and continue on in Philippians 1 from there. So joy in the fight. The Apostle Paul was such a picture of joy for us, a model. We'll start in 19. This is actually from the NIV for today. And it says, "For I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death." And so I just want to quickly break down this scripture for us. As I read that, four words kind of popped off the page at me, and you can see which ones they are. We know that the Apostle Paul called himself the chief of sinners. He was a murderer of Christians, and when he came around, when he first came in with the Christians, they were afraid of him. We read that in Scripture, and so now he finds himself have walked in relationship with the Christians and all of the followers there. He knew with certainty that he was in Christ, and those that walked with him, he was writing letters from chains. He was in chains, and he's writing letters of encouragement. And so someone is receiving this letter, the church at Philippi. And as they read his words, they read this, that I know, and we'll figure out what it is in a minute, that he knows, but he knows it with certainty. He knows this with certainty, that it's through prayers and the revision of the Holy Spirit that he is coming with this message. He knows, and what is it when we know something? We know that we know that we know. And I was thinking about that, and I know that I know that I know that I love coffee, right? I know that about myself. And if we're a morning person, we know that we know that we know we're a morning person, and we also know if we're not. And some people can't be morning people until they have their coffee. But these are things that we know. And we can be just as sure of who we are in Christ. And that's what he's talking about. He says, "I know that I know that I know." As in Christ, he knows that there is something that he has, and that is fellowship with others. And he's talking about through prayer and God's provision of the Holy Spirit. He knows with certainty that as we pray for one another, as we read in James 5:16, and in partnership with this provision of the Holy Spirit. This provision, this word, means to supply abundantly. That God's Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, is in abundant supply in our need. And this we know is, Jesus talked about this in John 14, that he was going to go away so a helper could come. And this is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that comes and speaks to us in a still small voice. And so he knows with certainty that through prayer with one another and through this provision of the Holy Spirit, that he was going to have deliverance. And this past Sunday, Pastor Adrian talked about us having God's approval. He talked about that. And at the end of the service, he gave us an opportunity to stand up and to say that we want God's approval in our life. And I stood up both times. Maybe I wanted double approval, but I just felt like I wanted to stand and say that. I desire God's approval, not the approval of people, but God's approval. And God is so faithful. That night, about 2-3 in the morning, I was awakened, and the Lord spoke to me. Now, I was a little grumpy, and I won't go into all of that, but I just was, you know, when you wake up, you're just kind of not ready to wake up in the middle of the night, and you hear from the Lord. And that I was so grateful for, because I needed to hear what He had to say to me. So it didn't take me long to be awake and to be on my knees and to hear His words. Now, I stood up on Sunday and said I wanted the approval from God. But there's something that was saying that I didn't want approval from people, right? That wasn't what I desire. I desire God's approval in my life. And I had found myself on Monday in a situation where I realized that I was seeking approval from people. And it shocked me. It wrecked me when I realized that that was in me. But when we ask God to do something in our heart, we should know that He wants to do it for us, right? We don't ask for it and then just walk away. There's consequences when we ask, when we want to be purified. And this is what God was doing for me in that moment. And as I pulled myself onto my knees, I will admit I did not get out of bed, but I was on my knees. That's what He asked, for me to get on my knees, and I did that. And when I got on my knees, He said this to me: "You are to get your approval from me, from God. If I choose to give my affirmation, my approval, through other people, I can, but you must never look to people for your approval." And that was a very loving word that He said to me. And He did that because He is doing a work in every one of us. But we have to know that through the Holy Spirit, He can speak to us in that still small voice, that He has sent us a helper, just like He sent the Holy Spirit to bring strength and to supply abundantly every need that the Apostle Paul had there in that prison. And this idea of deliverance, that it's saved, it means saved from, it means salvation. And we know that as He's asking for this deliverance, we know that He's saved. We know that He said, whether I live or whether I die, He has everything. It's not about His salvation, but He is saying that He wants to be delivered from any temptations of being weak or being tempted. If you read in verse 20, He says, "I eagerly expect and hope that I will no way be ashamed, and that I will have sufficient courage, so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death." And as He knows whose He is, and He knows that through the community of believers, as we come together, and through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in us, that we have everything we need for life and for godliness. And I tell you that as I shared that this week with someone, that I had realized there was a place in my life that God was giving me deeper freedom from. I did it through tears. It was hard to admit that. It was hard to admit that I had a place, but we're all on a journey. We all, as we pray and seek God, He comes in and He brings freedom. And I heard what Christine Kane say that this week. God can't heal what we won't reveal. And I think it was important for me to be able to go and speak that, to speak it into a place where another believer could hear it and could be in prayer for me. We need that. We need each other. And Apostle Paul had such joy in the midst of his adversity that he could say, whether I live or whether I die. And you know, we can't manifest that joy. It comes from a place of obedience. It comes from knowing who we are in Christ. And the band is going to come, and they are going to transition with the song. And I just want to say that I don't know where you all are. I don't know what you might be struggling with today, what it is that seems impossible, what circumstances seem like they are never going to change. I just ask today, as Horatio Spafford, he wrote a song, "It Is Well With My Soul," and this, you'll see it in this song. But he lost his four daughters in a terrible shipwreck, and he was able to write a song that said, "It is well with my soul." In his hard time, in his circumstances, he was able to say, "It is well with my soul." However, he didn't just stop by saying it. He went on to open, I believe, many orphanages for children that didn't have parents. And he made a difference out of his own hurts in his life. And he changed many other people's lives. And I wonder if what we're going through today, our circumstances, if we would trust the Lord in the midst of those circumstances, would we find that we have a purpose and that God wants to not just heal us, but he wants to use us far beyond, just as the Apostle Paul went through what he went through. Today we are still learning from his words, because he didn't just sit in the prison, but he made the most of it. And today we are benefactors of what he did, and he wrote it down so that we might have encouragement today. People come behind us, and will they, from our lives here, that it is well with our soul?
That are shaken and loose. You can be seated. Can you proclaim that today? Is it more than words? Is it truly your worship? Last Sunday, Pastor Adrian made a statement. I wrote it down word for word as best as I heard it. The fruit you need most, you won't know you have until you need it. I have believed that all my life. I've never been able to articulate it in exactly those simple words. Hear it again. The fruit you need most, you won't know you have it until you need it. That's because in Galatians 5, we read about spiritual fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And we're talking about joy in the fight, which is kind of a weird title if you come and think about it in a worldly point of view. Joy in the fight? Well, joys are in a fight. That's the idea. You see, the kingdom of God is a right-side-up kingdom, not an upside-down kingdom like this world knows about. And so we can have joy in the fight because of Galatians 5, where it says in verse 22, "But the spiritual nature, the fruit of the Spirit, produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." And so the sense is that the gifts we have from God, we don't really know that He has hidden them away in our lives until they are needed. The fruit, the graces, the mercies. A few years ago, my mentor and our dear friend, Reverend James Sproul, he called me on the phone. It was a troubling call. He was in the hospital, and he believed that he was dying. It was a very difficult situation that he had in one of his veins in his neck, and he thought it would result maybe in an aneurysm in his death. And I didn't know how to comfort him. I listened. I tried to pray with him. But he said, "Kerry, I'm so embarrassed." I said, "Why are you embarrassed?" He said, "Because I'm dying and I have no grace. And I preached this all my life, and here I am dying, and, you know, I just have no grace. I have no joy. I have, you know," and it was difficult, and we did the best we could, and he hung up, and a while later he called me, and voice calm, and he said, "Everything's going to be okay, Kerry." He said, "Mary, my wife, set me straight. She said, after she heard me talking to you, and I hung up, she said, 'Oh, James, shut up.'" She said, "You don't have dying grace because you're not dying. So take it as a good thing." He said, "I'm over it. I'm going to live." You know, sometimes we just don't realize that we want things when we don't even need whatever it is that we want. But rest assured that if you belong to God, then the fruit of His Spirit is hidden in you. Now, the other side of that is, if you have faced some things and the fruit has not manifested itself, that's another story. So there are things in life that test to see whether we really belong to God, whether His Spirit responds in situations where normally we would respond. And so we need to look at it from, of course, both directions. November the 17th is an essential day for me personally. On November 17th, 2009, in Wilmore, Kentucky, I met Dr. Dennis Kinlaw. Dr. Dennis Kinlaw wrote the book that is titled This Day with the Master. It's been a great help to my life. And My Utmost for His Highest is the book also that's been a great help to my life. The author's Oswald Chambers. Well, I knew I wouldn't meet Brother Oswald till I get to heaven. And I began to research this Dennis Kinlaw, who I didn't know very much about him. And so I called some places in Kentucky where his name was associated. And I finally did get someone on the phone. And I asked her, I said, I'd like to know about Dr. Kinlaw. She said, "What would you like to know?" I said, "Well, I don't know how to say it." She said, "Do you want to know if he's still alive?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Yes, he is. I saw him this morning." And she said at that time, he's 88 years old. And she said, he's still getting around good. And I said, well, good. I'd like to book him for revival. And she laughed. She said, well, he's not that alive. And she said, but if you would like to meet him and hear him, he holds a retreat here in Wilmore area every year. And you're more than welcome to come. And through that, I felt the Lord invited me through the writings of Dr. Ken Law. And so it was November the 17th, and I was sitting alone on the back row of the retreat center in rural Kentucky. I looked around. I didn't see anyone that really met the description of Dr. Ken Law in the room, so I was a tad disappointed, wondering if I had the right place. And about 15 minutes after the retreat started, there was a kind of a clanging at the back door, and I was on the back seat, so I turned to look, and I saw the door open. Elderly man with an eternal countenance came slowly with two canes supporting his weight, and he was moving towards me. He came alongside me. I heard a little whisper through the room, you know, and then he sat, and he didn't actually sit. He leaned over to me and whispered, may I sit with you? And I said, yes, indeed. And I pulled the chair out next to me so he could have a seat. And after he got settled in and the attention of the room was back to the front, he leaned my way once again, hand extended, and said, I'm Dennis. My heart melted. I kind of forgot my name for a while. But I knew I was in the presence of someone who really loved the Lord. And it was a highlight for me. Later in the retreat day, Dr. Kinlaw, who was the keynote speaker, even though he arrived late, he did make it. And he sat before us as mostly pastors, leaders, and he shared on the topic the role of the pastor as nurturer. And it was as if Jesus himself were reaching through this elderly man with the eternal countenance to love on all of us. Before the retreat ended, I handed Dr. Kinlaw this copy of my book that he had written, and I asked him if he would sign it for me. And so he opened the book, and with trembling hand, he wrote, Carrie, comma, it's a joy to get together, blessings, exclamation point, Dennis F. Kinlaw. And then beneath it, his life verse, which I didn't know until that moment, Philippians 1, 21. Philippians 1, 21. I want to read Philippians 1, 21 to you. He wrote on June 5th devotional in this book on the verse of Philippians 1, 21. And from the translation he's using here, it may be most noticeable to our ears. This is what he was proclaiming when he wrote beneath his name the verse. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If you have your copy of the scriptures, you will look back to Philippians chapter 1. And I love the way that it's rendered in the New Living Translation. I love the way it's rendered in the NIV. I love the way it's rendered everywhere I've read it. Let me give it to you a few ways. King James says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Holman Christian says, for me, living is Christ and dying is gain. International Standard, for to me to go on living is the Messiah and to die is gain. The NET Bible, for to me, living is Christ and dying is gain. The New Heart English Bible, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Arabic Bible in plain English, for my life is the Messiah, and if I shall die, it is gain for me. God's Word Translation, Christ means everything to me in this life, and when I die, I'll have even more. I think that speaks dearest to my spirit when I read. But in God's Word Translation, I want you to hear that again. Let me read it again with a little bit tied into it, and then I want to give you one more verse that really compliments it beautifully. I'll begin in verse 20 of Philippians 1. I eagerly expect and hope that I will have nothing to be ashamed of. I will speak very boldly and honor Christ in my body now as always, whether I live or die. Verse 21. Christ means everything to me in this life, and when I die, I'll have even more. If I continue to live in this life, my work will produce more results. I don't know which I would prefer. I find it hard to choose between the two. I would like to leave this life and be alone with Christ or be with Christ. That's by far the better choice. But for your sake, it's better that I remain in this life, since I'm convinced of this. I know that I will continue to live and be with you. Why? This will help you to grow and be joyful in your faith. You see, he could say that because he's been imprisoned. And prison and joy just don't go together. They don't seem right in the same sentence. And so because now he's found himself in prison, Paul has realized that joy had been hidden away in his heart for such a time as this, and he wants to live so that he can bring this newfound expression of joy back to the believers at Philippi. So for me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I want to give you, though, also verse 29, which I think this verse commands it. Verse 29, God has given you the privilege not only to believe in Christ, but also to suffer for Him. The privilege. Not the responsibility. I mean, they're kind of the same word, but the God's Word translation renders it the privilege of suffering for Jesus. And so Christianity at its deepest level is something that this world just sort of shakes its head at in disbelief, of course. And so I'm just grateful to God that I was able to go and to be there that day to meet Dr. Ken Law, to have him share his life verse with me. And when I was going to preach today, I mean, immediately my mind went to this book. Let me go back to June 4th, where he wrote a commentary about his life verse. This is just some beautiful language. He starts by saying, one verse of Charles Wesley's hymn, Jesus, Lover of My Soul, begins with a remarkable thought. Thou, O Christ, art all I want. More than all in Thee I find. Wesley continues by speaking of how Christ can raise the fallen, cheer the faint, heal the sick, and lead the blind. He seems to be saying that the answer to any human need is Christ. The answer to any human need is in Christ. That's the only place we will find the answer. In other words, whatever I need to have done for me or to me, He can do it. He can handle it. The opening lines of Wesley's hymn, though, seem to speak of something else. They speak of neither God's gifts nor His acts. They speak of Christ Himself, that He is better than anything He can do for us or give to us. It's powerful. Christ has become everything to me in this life. So Charles Wesley seems to be saying that Christ Himself is enough. To have Him is enough. We need no more. We say things like, all I need is Jesus, but do we actually understand that is true? Paul understood it. Chained to guards. Had nothing except he had everything. The title of my message today, in anything, Christ is my everything. In anything, Christ is my everything. God is enough. Ken Law goes on to say, perhaps this is some of what Paul is saying when from prison he tells his Philippian friends that for him to live is Christ and that therefore he has learned to be content in any state. It is certainly what Jesus is saying when he tells the rich young ruler. Maybe you remember that story in the Gospels where the rich young ruler, probably a rich politician, came to Christ. And Christ said to him, if you want to be with me, go sell everything you have and come back. We tend to kind of feel sorry for the rich young ruler and say, come on, Jesus, that's a little much, don't you think, to have this man go unload everything to come and be with you. But listen to what Ken Law says about that. I believe it's true, and it certainly is beautiful. It is certainly what Jesus is saying when he tells the rich young ruler to sell all he has and to follow him. Listen, Jesus is not calling the young man to less. He is calling him to more. to himself. It is enough. Jesus is enough. There's another paragraph that I kind of say for last, even though it's a little further up in the devotional. Listen to these thoughts that Dr. Kinlaw puts in our mind. It is fair to ask whether a person who has everything plus God is really any richer than a person who has only God. A person, if we could find one, who has only God is certainly not in poverty. He is as rich as the person who has everything plus God. That is a powerful thought. The world hears that and goes, what? What are you talking about? You see, because the world doesn't say to live is Christ and to die is gain. The world says to live is gain and to die is loss. And that's why it's so counterculture to what we hear. And we even maybe as believers shake our head when we think this whole deal that Jesus didn't call the rich young ruler to poverty. He called him to a wealth that was beyond what he could ever know. He would be separated from earthly riches, but he would not be any less rich. He'd be more rich with Christ alone. We say things like this, but if we could just believe it. I want to believe this. I understand now that my granny was kind of translating in her own words the Apostle Paul when he said, for to live is Christ, to die is gain. If you were to meet my granny Marjorie during her lifetime here on the earth, and you would say, Miss Marjorie, how are you doing? Granny, how are you? Her favorite answer was this. Ready to go, ready to stay. And she meant it. And I kind of added some pieces to it. Ready to go, ready to stay, just that Christ would have his way. I mean, that's what she was really saying. And, you know, it kind of took root in our family because her daughter-in-law, my mother, almost always, when I say, Mom, how are you today? She has a couple of answers. But one of her favorites is, ready to go, ready to stay. To live is Christ, to die is gain. What does that mean? The Apostle Paul says, I am happy to live, yet content to die. Or maybe is he saying it backwards? It makes more sense that way. But really, he's saying it this way. I am happy to die and content to live. That doesn't quite ring as true to us, you know, but it's true. It's reality that we can come to a place in our relationship with Christ where when people say, how are you? You can say, I'm happy to die. Really? Yeah, really. I mean, I'm going to let him take care of it. Let's not take it too far. I am happy to die, but content to live. I mean, if I have to live, I will. But I'm happy to die. This is a beautiful way to live our temporary lives here on this planet. It does a lot to fear, you know, if we're just able to have a happiness, a joyfulness about the day we die, and to be content not to die until he calls us. You know, what does the Apostle Paul say? Let me try to say it one more way. He's saying, I am happy to die because then my suffering for Christ will be over. But I'm content to live and to suffer more for him if that's what brings him glory. It means that you belong to God. It means whatever he chooses. It's the prayer of Christ in Gethsemane. He said to the Father, if there's another way we can save them, if we can go around this great suffering that looms ahead of me, let's do it. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. What was Jesus saying? He was saying, I belong to the Father. The Father belongs to me. What was the Apostle Paul saying when he said to live is Christ and to die is gain? He was saying, Christ is my greatest treasure and I am his greatest treasure. I belong to him and he belongs to me. And so in this life, we don't find joy in possessing stuff, not even life itself, but we find joy in the one who possesses us. This is joy. And if we don't have the Holy Spirit bringing to us this real joy, anytime that it looks like joy in our life, it's counterfeit. It's not the real deal. Because only the Holy Spirit can give you what you need when you need it. And I'm trusting Him to do just that. Do you ever do this? Sometimes I worry about dying. I worry about how will I respond. But the Lord says, quit worrying and worship. You're not there yet. When you get there, I will give to you what I've hidden in you for that day. I'm going to ask Joe to come and prepare for the closing song. November 17th, a big day for me. 5 years from the day I met Dr. Dennis Kinlaw, and he gave me the scripture under his name to live as Christ and die as gain. 5 years to the day my dad went to be with the Lord. I had not put that together until this week when I took that book out and looked at the date. And it's like the Lord was saying, what Kinlaw gave you on that day 5 years earlier was what you saw and experienced at your dad's death. You see, at my dad's death, we all gathered around the bed like the Arbogast were this week around Jeanette's bed. And we're leaning in, you know, because we want to see the goods on display. We want to see God come through with what He's promised that He would give in the hour of need. And we're at the hospice house, and we're trying not to cry, but we're crying, and then Dad, crying, looks at us all and says, stop crying. Let me tell you, that didn't work. So we all continued to cry, and then Dad looked at us and said, don't cry. We have love, and love is all that matters. What was he saying? God is love. We have God, and God is all that matters. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. We have love. We have God. And so Thursday morning, I was at Jeanette's bedside. She had just earlier, evidently, accepted the idea that she would be dying. Maybe just hours earlier, or maybe the night before. But I had seen her on Saturday, and when I came back on Thursday morning, things had changed in her life quickly. And I want to confess that it's hard for me still to go into a room of a dying parent. It's a difficult place for me to find myself. But I also need to be there, and I want to be there. Because there's real loss that happens. And you experience the loss you have in your own life when you watch other people losing a parent they love. But I wouldn't have been anywhere else regardless. And so I'm in there. And when I walked in, Mandy said, Mom, Pastor Carrie's here. And she was laying flat and hardly able to talk, but she said, Hallelujah. And then she said, Glory. And those were her two words the whole time I was in there. Hallelujah and glory. I knew that God was giving to her what she needed in that moment, and I was taking all of it I could give for myself. And then I heard the music playing real love. And I didn't think she could probably hear it. The family had some good music on. And I said, Jeanette, do you hear the song that's playing right now? And when she heard it, she started singing it. And she was looking at me like, sing with me. And it may not have been the most beautiful duet. You might not have paid tickets to hear us sing it. But there was a lot of joy at the bedside. And we sang it together. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. And the last verse that I spoke over Jeanette while she was still alive was this. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And when she came to that day, the goods came with that day. And I want to give you hope today that if you belong to God, hidden away in you is the fruit that when you need it, you will have it. You can just quit worrying and worship. Let's do that now. If you would stand to your feet for just a moment. I have to be obedient before Joe strikes the chord here. I know that we are kind of coming to the end, but this is a song been on my heart all week. If you know it and you can catch the key I'm in, sing it with me. Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds, and nothing I desire compares with you. Is he your everything in this life? If he is, for you to live is Christ, because he's everything. And to die is gain. You can be happy to die and content to live until he calls you home. And this song is a song that used to wake me up in the morning. It was my alarm clock. It's Catherine Scott's song, I Belong. And every morning I would wake up to this. It brought comfort to my heart. Now I wake up to harp music. I've changed to harp music, so I don't know if I'm in heaven or on earth still when my clock goes off in the morning. I recommend it. iPhone, just go find it, harp. And it's really something beautiful. It wakes you up in a good mood. You know, that, oh, I wonder where I'm at for a moment. You sort of shake your head. But this is a song that woke me up for many years. And I hope that you find something in it today that will bless you.
Not angels, nor demons, no power on earth or heaven, not distance, nor danger, no trouble. I belong to you. I belong. I belong to you. Not hardship, nor hunger, no pain or depth of sorrow. Not weakness, nor failure, no broken dream or promise. Nothing can take me from your great love. Forever this truth remains. I belong, I belong. I belong, I belong to you. I belong, I belong to you. I belong, I belong to you. Nothing can take me from your great love.
Just a moment and consider that. There was a time when I sang, I belong to me. What a sad song. But what a glad song when you can know that you belong to God. And that means that everything He has belongs to you, especially His joy. And my prayer is today that the Lord will give you a joy that the devil himself cannot put the brakes on. Regardless of whether you're celebrating or suffering, there will be joy. Joy in your journey. Joy in your fight. And I believe that your loved ones who watch that will be eternally impressed when they are able to see that it's the real deal. That God really is faithful. Today we receive our love offering for mission partnership around the world. I really need your help. We've depleted the funds nearly because there have been a lot of needs since our last offering. I've been receiving text in the night about 3 a.m. All week from my dear brother. I won't say his name because it will be recorded. But he's been in Baghdad, Iraq, holding revival all week. And sending me pictures and showing me the people who are hungry for Christ and the gospel. He's there because we partner with him. We give him resources that allows him to leave his home in the Middle East and to travel all around the Middle East with the good news. And we want to continue to support that effort. Also in Germany, the Zimmerman brothers are taking Frankfurt by storm. And down in Kaiserslautern, our own Drew and Chelsea David with baby William and their two identical twins that have just been born girls. And Steve, the father, was telling me the other day they were there, and Drew kind of played a trick on Chelsea. And he switched the girls' outfits or something to see if she could tell them apart. I don't think it went over really well. But I guess he had marked one with a Sharpie so he wouldn't lose track of which one it was. Doug and Don Holvey, who come here, and her twins, their mother, before she passed, said, she said, I think I got them messed up on the first day, so I'm not sure which is which. But they've done pretty well, so I think it'll be okay. But we want to keep supporting that family who's part of us. I mean, literally, they are our children who went to be messengers of hope in a foreign land. And then we have many other mission partnerships that come up, and we just are there to say we can help. So today, if you'd like to go online at hfcngive.com, if you give a gift there, just mark it Mission Partnership. All of it will go to that fund and will be directed so that we can make sure we bring the gospel to places that might not otherwise show up. So ushers, if you would come, thank you for waiting on us today. And thank you for your obedience, your continued generosity. And I know some of you are sacrificing, and God knows, and you will not regret it. On that day, I have this little plaque that my grandmother, when she passed away, was the only thing I asked for from her house. Nobody else asked for it, so I got it. Outside her front door, there was an old plaque. It just sort of hung at the door to the left. It said, "Only one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last." And I promise you that on that day, you will not regret whatever you sacrificed for the Mission Partnership Fund. Because on that day, probably people will come up to you in heaven and say, I understand that in part, I'm here because of you. That's going to be a wonderful day. Ushers, please. Also today, if you are here, we have some other announcements that we'd like to share. If you don't belong to Christ, and today you'd like to have someone to pray with you, or you just need a prayer for anything, our altar is extended to the well. It's across from the cafe, and there'll be real, living, breathing, heart-pounding people standing there that will be glad to pray with you, for you, if you'd like to stop by any Sunday that we might not mention it, but we try to mention it every week. Also today, if you're first time here visiting with us, right back at the back, the Almond Trouts are holding the wall up, but they also have some bags there So stop by and get you a yellow, pink bag, whatever. And we've got some, I think, some things you really like in there. Pastor Margaret referred to one of the items in her illustration. Okay, and next, celebrate recovery. Last week I was sitting at the front desk. That's kind of my place often at Celebrate Recovery evening, just to greet and see people come and go. But I saw one couple that were here, and I hadn't seen them in a few weeks maybe, and they said, "We just came to worship tonight." It just blessed my heart. So if you'd like to come to Celebrate Recovery for the meal at 6, or just to worship with us at 6:30, or to be a part of this wonderful ministry, I pray that you will show up tomorrow evening. And I plan to be here, Lord willing, and I hope that you can come and be a part of that if that is something that your heart is leaning toward. Also today, you may have noticed there's a little color in the foyer today. That's because our third service, our family in the Spanish-speaking venue, they are hosting Heritage Day. And because some water fell out of the sky today, I haven't seen that in a while, they kind of moved everything inside. And so if you'd like to stop by some of the tables and just to see the melting pot of culture that is HFCN family, just stop by and just look at some of the tables, and it's very interactive and very interesting. So, and a good way to say that we love each other here, regardless of your first, second, or third service. So we welcome you to that. Please stand. Thank you for your patience and your kindness today. Thank you for being patient with me. I hadn't preached in 4 weeks. I'm a little rusty. So thank you for coming and being here. And I pray next week, as I'm supposed to be on the slot again. I'm so grateful for the people God has given me to help bring the message. And I know one thing, we all need each other, but as you get older, you really need help. Some of you young people, just take what I just said to heart. You don't even know what I'm talking about right now. You're like, I don't need anything. Well, there will be a time when you actually need some help. And I'm grateful that it's showing up around me. We're going to pray a prayer now that Jesus taught us. And it's going to be on the screen in case you've never heard the prayer. We'd like for you to learn it with us. And we all pray together in closing. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Go enjoy.